It is great to have you on the Family Goals Podcast with David Pollock and Pastor Jay. I'm Joel Inhouse, and on this podcast, we want to encourage you to grow closer to God, to strengthen your marriage, and to inspire your family to reach its highest potential.
Being a pastor is one of the biggest blessings of my life. It can also be really challenging. Often it feels like everyone wants something from you. That's one of the reasons that it's so refreshing when you find a trusted ministry partner, a Christ-centered, church-driven organization that's truly there to help you carry your church's mission forward. For me, Compassion International has been one of those trusted ministry partners. Hear me say this, Compassion International is much more than asking people in your church to sponsor a child. Compassion offers proven, no-cost resources to help pastors make mission and discipleship a personal priority for individuals and families in their churches. My local Compassion team is in my corner. They genuinely care about me and my church. Learn more about partnering with Compassion at compassion.com/family goals.
Pastor Jay and Davey recently took their families on a mission trip to Honduras. Take a listen as they talk about what happened.
When you were NFL, were you like 290?
I was like 275 because I was a linebacker at that time.
Okay, so you lost weight.
I had lost a little bit of weight, 265, 275.
I love that pudgy Georgia picture of you. That's one of my favorite ones.
I can't tell you how many times when people run through the building that I get that picture sent to me. I'm just like, golly.
Oh, they have that up at Georgia.
It's on the wall, yeah. And it's I'm like, it looked like Herman Munster. Like, it's an awful picture. Like, it's a really bad picture. It's awful. I just question what my wife was thinking.
Yeah.
Because it's not, what,
she
not like
took
was,
the picture or she sent in the picture?
No, I'm just saying, why would you marry that?
Oh, yeah. That's true. But y'all knew each other from like middle school.
Thank gosh. You see, that's the goal. Like, if you're trying to, Jolin, I was talking to Jolin about his dating woes and his prospects.
Oh, you were?
Yeah. Don't worry,
we were talking about prospects.
We're talking about prospects. But see, that's the thing. I think if you just grab them young and then raise them up, you're good. Like, I grabbed Lindsay at 14. It was perfect. Just brainwash her.
She doesn't know any different.
Doesn't know any different. Yeah. She thinks I'm great. It was awesome.
We were at a wedding Saturday in Birmingham, and this girl started talking to us. Very, very outgoing girl. And she started telling us that her parents, her dad, has like a box, season tickets, like a sky box at the LSU games. Like, this girl's from Louisiana.
Oh, wow.
And I'm thinking to myself, hey, Jolin, this girl's pretty cute.
She's pretty cute, but more importantly, daddy gets to go in the box.
Yeah, like
that's what, Jolin, that's all he was thinking about.
Can we at the box, like the LSU baseball, like they're all into it. I'm thinking, okay, this girl's might be too perfect here.
They do good baseball there, right? They have good baseball?
Oh, the best. They won the national championship last year.
Did they really?
Yeah.
What, are they like 4-12 this year? Like 4-20?
No, they're
every SEC team or every team that wins the Natty like comes back and they stink the next year.
Well, I mean, they had the first and second pick in the MLB draft last year.
Is that good? That's pretty solid.
First and second pick. They
sarcasm,
won the national
Pastor
championship.
Jay. Sarcasm.
They're always. They have the highest attendance of any baseball team in the nation every year for like 10 straight years.
By far the best place I ever played college football.
LSU.
Oh, it was awesome.
The real Death Valley.
The real Death Valley. Going to Death Valley, I'll never forget. Walk like the bus ride there. You have the police officers obviously that escort you, but like you stop along the way, and you got grandmas, you know, flicking you off. Like, you got people mooning you. You got people shaking the bus.
People like, mooning you.
Oh yeah, you got people shaking the bus. Like,
grandmas flipping you off. People
it was incredible.
Was it a night game or day game?
It was a night game. It was awesome.
They were all pretty liquored up by then.
They were all hydrated for sure.
Yeah.
And then we walk. I remember we go in the stadium, and as soon as you walk out of the locker room, Mike the Tiger's sitting right there. They put him right outside of our locker room.
The real Mike.
Oh yeah, like in the cage, but like scares the bejesus out of you.
I know Ugga gets all the number one mascot in the nation every year, but like Mike the Tiger, he's got to be up there.
He's solid, but he's a tiger. Obviously, you know, he's in a cage. I mean, it's kind of, I don't know that it's as good when you're in a cage as opposed to, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think
you'd let Ugga go in the cage with Mike the Tiger.
I don't think he'd come out. Ugga got beat up by Bevo, remember? Ugga got beat up by Bevo from the Longhorns.
Have you seen Mike the Tiger's paws?
Yeah, it's
like
pretty
how
gross.
Big those paws are.
Hey, but anyways, after that, you walk on the field. So this is before you go on the field for warm-ups. This is 3-4 hours before the game. The whole student section's already packed. Like, it's already
packed.
3 or 4 hours
before.
Oh, but this is before you even walk on the field for warm-ups. This is right when you get there, just walk on the field, like, kind of feel the grass, walk to the goalpost, walk back in kind of deal. That's what I always did. And they were chanting awesome things to you. Like, I think it was an F word saying, like, we're your favorite, like, Georgia's a favorite, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
And I was just like, how awesome is this? Like, it's not even close to game time. And then just so loud, so crazy. I remember we kicked an extra point. When they threw the ball all the way to the top of the stadium and threw it out of the stadium, I was like, that is fantastic. Like, it was the loudest atmosphere I've ever heard for a long, extended period of time. It's not the loudest I've heard at one time. That was Tennessee.
Okay.
Tennessee for the Hobnail boot game was after Travis Stevens caught that screen pass and went like 60 yards against Georgia before the comeback with Greeny and Veron Haynes. That was the – I thought my brain was going to overload. Like, it was, like, shaking. It was the craziest thing I've ever heard. And it was the quietest place about 4, 5, 6 minutes later because everybody was like, what just happened? Greeny just went down the field in 30 seconds or whatever. So
– yeah, the first time I took Jennifer to an LSU game, Jolyn was like a baby. Or he was like a little toddler or something, and Jennifer was like, I don't think we can bring Jolyn to an LSU game. Because of all the
extracurriculars,
all the stuff going on, and we ended up taking Jolyn, you know, later on. Which one of the coolest things ever was you were able to get us on the sidelines for an LSU game. It's actually Les Miles' last game, beat Texas A&M. They carried him off the field, but the coolest thing was Shaq was down there.
Yep,
yeah, and
he's not a little human, is he?
He is probably the largest human being I've ever stood next to, been around.
He's
I was trying to like high five him and hang out with him, but you know he was just ignoring me.
Ben Simmons was there, too, and he's a big boy. Yeah.
That was cool.
That was a cool experience. Yeah, I remember Nicholas. I took him to 20-plus campuses and went to a bunch of game days. But LSU was the only one that, like, the chanting in the crowd was like, you know, blank you, so-and-so. And I'm just like, can we please just not do that, please?
Yeah,
like,
I
that
can't.
Would be great. I was like, hey, bud, you know, go back on the bus. Go on the bus real quick and don't – cover your ears and don't listen, you know, because he's obviously like 9 years old, you know. I mean, you prefer them not hear that. But I would say on a whole, sporting events in the SEC, not always the most kid-friendly. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
And SEC football games can get a little rowdy.
Well, let's talk about the Pollock family, the Howes family, heading down to Honduras for a short trip.
Short trip, for sure.
2 days of traveling, 1 day there, but it was life-changing.
It was cool.
How was it for the Pollock family? Like, that was your first mission trip?
Yeah.
First time your kids got to see something like that?
So you've already done it, obviously, so you're used to it, you and the fam. You know, it was cool. My wife is not an emotional person at all, and, you know, we're standing outside the church ready to walk in and go meet, you know, the church and everybody. And when we were sitting, or when they opened the doors and they fired off the streamers, and then your kids that you support, you know, have the sign, have your names on the signs.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was cool. And Lindsay was immediately like crying. Mm. And my wife's not a crier. She's just not. So it was cool. You know, you sponsor these kids, and our church sponsors, what, 1,100 kids?
Yeah.
And that was one of the coolest parts too, by the way, sitting with the pastor and just firing questions back and forth when I think y'all were doing home visits, and I fired questions back and forth with a translator, thank God, back and forth, and just asked him all these different things. And he said, and this made me tear up a little bit, but he was like, we're known as the church that saves children.
Oh, wow.
That's what he said.
That's
he was like,
cool.
In the community, that's what we are. We're the church that saves children. And
what a great
thing
to be known for.
Dude, what else would you want to be known for? And it was cool to watch or to hear him say that, and then cool to look at the church and to look at the things that we've all been a part of, like with the washing station and the restrooms and the playground, like all that stuff that we talked about as a church, but you don't get to see it. And I think when you see it, and you know the kids bring their toothbrushes, like, because they can't brush their teeth at home.
No clean water at home, so the church has – we put in the clean water system, which came from the Christmas offering
one year. I mean, it's just – it's humbling. You realize kids are kids because, like, it's the same thing there as it is here. Like, just get in their world a little bit, play with them, love on them. Like, that's all – you don't even have to speak the same language.
Mm-hmm.
And they were having a blast. Like, we were playing soccer, and it was awesome. And I didn't have a clue what they were saying half the time. And they'd walk up to me, and I think they knew I did because I looked like them. They always come up and start spitting Spanish, and I'm like, hey, okay, let's play soccer. I don't know what you're saying. I learned this is handball.
How is your Spanish? Do you have any? Do you know
Paquito.
Any?
Paquito. I mean, I know, like, I never learned how to conjugate verbs. I never learned that part, but I learned all the words. I learned a ton of the words, mm-hmm. but, like, never knew how to say things.
Like
so I just
used Elefante?
You have, like, three. Pastor Jay was so annoying on the trip. He has, like, three. Elefante is
wait,
one.
Wait. Hold on, Pastor Jay was annoying?
Here's what's next. Here's what's next from Pastor Jay. Jolin can back me up on this. Pollo. You got pollo down, Pat. Like,
yeah, chicken. Yep.
Chicken. Oh, yeah. So it was yeah. cool. It was cool for us. Yeah. Staying there longer would have been awesome. And I think we will, you know, we'll be able to go back.
That's
in the future,
what Jolin said. You know, it was like if we could have stayed there longer. It was a lot of traveling. We were basically with the kids for about six hours, it seemed like.
Not
six
long
or,
enough.
Six or 7 hours.
But it was so. Cool. It was cool to meet them, though. And like, because there are a lot of people that always say, like, with their kids, they're like, or is this a cardboard cutout of somebody else? And you know what I'm saying?
So I had, like, guys in my discipleship group were sending me names of their kids. Hey, can you get a picture with my kid? And then one of the guys, we were able to track down a couple of the girls that his family supports, and I took a picture and sent it back to him. And his response was, they're real kids. Nope. Like, in his mind, he was a little bit skeptical that maybe this is just some kid's picture on a card and it wasn't an actual
Which
kid.
I get that. I get the skepticism. But you know what it shows you is it brings it to life, which is cool. And just like Nicholas. Nicholas is like, you know, he's got a 14-year-old kid that we sponsor and we've been sponsoring for years and years and years. He was like, this makes me really want to ride him. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, that's what's cool. Yeah. Like, it made it real. And you got to see their situation. And the coolest part of the trip by far, and I got a video of it. It was so dope. Like, we're walking through, touring the facility, seeing all the kids, and they're doing praise and worship in the in their little room with a concrete room with no AC. And you got, like, little kids with their hands in the air praising Jesus. And you're just like, man. And you could hear it. It was goodness of God. Like, mm-hmm. I could tune. Oh, I could sing it with them.
Yeah.
But I was singing in English, and they were singing in Spanish. And I was just like, man, oh, man, is that cool. Like, but kids are kids, and they were happy as could be. And they don't know what they don't know. And it was fun to see a place that they had to go to that they were safe that with that church that is known for saving kids. Like, that's what the church
Yeah, you brought up several things in there. Joan, were you wanting to say something? Were you wanting to? But hearing people pray in another language, hearing people worship God in another language, and that happened, you know, wherever you go around the world, you hear that in a different language. And it just expands. You're like, oh, God doesn't speak English.
Yeah.
Like, God's not American. Like, you know, it's really eye-opening to hear people pray and worship in another language. But that, goodness of God, I thought that was incredible. And they weren't just singing it. They weren't just going through the motions. They had their eyes closed.
Hands in the air.
Some were lifting their hands. Yeah. I mean, it was pretty amazing. But, yeah, after we visited with the kids, a soccer game broke out in the front lobby of the church, which is probably
a no-no.
No, but it's just small. I mean, it wasn't like very.
It was a tiny little area. And we say tiny, like, it was.
We got lots of good video of the Pollock family playing soccer.
It's
probably
20 by 10 room. And so we just used the back wall as the goal.
Yeah.
If you hit the back wall, then we yelled goal and went crazy.
But then y'all moved it to the playground.
Then we had to get real.
So
we had to dice up teams.
And some of the kids were like into it.
Oh, they were all into it. Yes, they were loving it, and they were calling the handballs. And one of the kids kept trying to get in goal. I'm like, bro, I'm like Godzilla back here. Like, no, I'm huge. I'm in the goal. I'm staying in the goal. Like, we're trying to win.
Well, it was the goal. It was a smaller court, smaller field. It was concrete, and then the goal was smaller. So it's kind of like the size of a hockey goal.
Yes.
So like you were basically covering.
I was covering the whole goal. Fat boy was covering the whole goal for sure.
There was no way.
They kicked it one time and I caught it one-handed, left-handed, and they went, ooh. I was like, yeah. and then we were picking teams and some of them were more serious than others, but that was you're right though. It was concrete. And again, the kitchen was right beside us too, behind a wall with just a pot on the ground with a fire.
Which those are some good tacos, by the way.
They were solid.
That was probably our best meal the whole trip, in my opinion, there at the church.
I don't disagree.
Yeah,
that was the best meal. And you had to be careful what you ate and so what you drank. And
yeah. So let's talk about getting into the church. Once you get in, the doors lock. Like, I don't know if you realize that. Like, the road's right there.
Yeah.
There's, like, no sidewalk. There's, like, you're in the road, and then you're in the church. But then the kids are locked in. So the coolest thing to me about that playground, and pastor said that the first thing they do when they get to the church is they run to the playground. And that's where they hang out. That's where they play. But it's all enclosed. So they have a very safe place to run around, to play. And they don't have that at their houses.
Yeah. Well, and so, Nicholas said, I don't know if it makes me feel safer or less safe that there's a guy outside of our hotel with a AR-15. And I was like, what do you mean? He was like, well, is he one of the good guys or is he one of the bad guys? And I was like, that's a good point. But I was like, and you saw a lot of that. Every gas station we stopped at, every store, you know, went to.
They were checking your receipts coming out of the gas.
Checking your receipts.
And the quick rip.
They were fully armed, several of them, and it was – yeah, they definitely live in
a
different
world. Agree with Nicola. It doesn't make me feel safe. It makes me feel a little uneasy. Like, do we really need a guy in an AR-15 guarding the gas station?
No, I mean, he wouldn't be there if they didn't.
Yeah.
That's the easy answer is he's there for a reason. But and then, you know, advancing it and taking it to their houses and seeing where they live.
You know, describe their living situation. We didn't go. We separate. We kind of split ways because we went to our girl's house. You went to girl or boy?
Girl.
Girl's house. What was y'all's house like?
It was as big as this closet, you know. And it was something. I mean, it was fully cemented. There was nothing else besides that. Obviously, no AC. The outdoor
windows were just open.
The windows were open, but they had bars on them, so it looked like a jail.
Oh wow!
Because it was kind of, and then there was a bed for all four of them,
all four slept on one bed.
But just they were jumping around happy as could be. I mean, they were jacked up. This one little 3-year-old was freaking hilarious. I mean, she was so happy bouncing around all over the place. And then we gave them, you know, we brought gifts for them, but we gave them those things that are kind of like gloves that you put on your hand, that the ball sticks to it.
Oh, the Velcro?
The Velcro, yeah. And then you pull it off, and showing them what that was, and then they were like, oh, that's awesome. Like, so I think it was just the simple things, but just talking to the mom about husband hasn't been home since she was born.
Oh, wow.
3 years. He's in America, sends money, but that's the way they got to do it to survive, you know, and that's, you think about like some of the stuff that you have to do and for your family and some of the sacrifices you have to make. And it's just that's a different world altogether. You know, they basically wire money home so they can buy and live in that tiny little place.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't get to see his kids, which is crazy. So
did they say where in America he was?
No, he didn't. They didn't say, but it was,
wow, that's sad.
Yeah. It was crazy.
That was the house we visited this year is a little nicer than the one we went 5 years ago. 5 years ago, it was basically like a metal storage unit, you know, metal walls, concrete floor, sheets for walls. This one, it was more of like a little adobe. It was small like this. They didn't have bars on the windows.
What's an adobe?
Like a stucco, little Spanish stucco house.
It's called an adobe.
Yeah.
Okay. Learn something new every day.
Out in New Mexico, Arizona, parts of the country.
I didn't know you were an architectural type guy. Sorry, my bad.
Nice, I wish.
Nice little,
I would.
Nice
I would,
little Adobe.
Yeah, I would love to be an architect.
Make that up, or no? Did you just want to sound fancy and smart.
Some things just come off the dome real smooth, and other things I can't even remember. So, what do you think was most impactful for the Pollock family? Like you got to meet your kid that you've been sponsoring for years and years, which encourages you to write him more. You got to see the church down there. You got to see their house, the living situation. You got to hear kids worshiping in Spanish. I mean, how do you think it impacted Nicholas and Leah?
I think you got to see a different. You got to see. I tell my kids a bunch on this trip, more so probably than I usually do, is like, you're not to blame for what you have. Like, you shouldn't feel sorry for what you have. Like, it's awesome that you got what you have, but you didn't do anything to deserve it. But if you don't do anything about other people's situation, you are to blame. Like, that's my That's my biggest thing with them. Like, you can do something about this. You can help others. You can change circumstances and change other people's things that they didn't deserve. So they're not to blame where they're at either. They just were born to different parents in a different part of the world. So, you know, just be somebody that wants to do something about it and make a change with it. And so that's the hope, is that that sticks a little bit, and that they – and listen, you know, we're coming back on the airplane and we're in the runway and Leah's like, it's so hot. I'm like, really? Like, really? Do you remember the church yesterday that didn't have AC and we were sweating gravy? Like, and you want it to stick so bad, but you know how it is with kids, and it takes time and it takes relentless effort. So I think this is the first of many for us, but I do think it just shows you how good you have it. Mm-hmm. And I think hopefully you can use those gentle reminders, you know, in a respectful way with your kids, that you keep that in the forefront of their mind and you help them to do something about it.
Yeah, Jennifer and I were talking. I mean, it's so impactful just going, and we were talking on the way back, like, we need to go on a mission trip every year just to be reminded of there's a bigger world, that, like, our first world problems, some of the situations that we're dealing with are really not, we're not talking about life and death issues. We're not talking, like, we took the family, the big basket of food, yeah, which, didn't you estimate that was like 50, 60 pounds? It was pretty heavy.
You were struggling.
I was struggling a little bit. I had to give it to one of the translators to carry for me through
the streets. It was a little strange when you're passing it off to your wife. Yeah, it was a little bit. And then I start to question those sauna workouts. But then I'm like, hey, you know what? Well, there you go. Pastor Jay's like, this is getting heavy. Here you go.
We definitely had our own little sauna workout down there. It was so hot. Yeah.
And they had fans, all these fans at the church that were in the back where we were talking to the pastor. And I'm like, I'm guessing those don't work. Mm-hmm. And the guy translated it for me. He's like, no, they don't. And I was like, if those worked right there, it would be fantastic. Because I'm going to.
Did you notice, like, the church was probably one of the nicest buildings in the whole community, nice, which I thought was cool. And pastor was very, very proud of it.
Should be.
But I was just thinking, kind of your point, we didn't choose where we were born or where we grew up. But I was just thinking to myself, if Jennifer and I switched places with Pastor Victor and Pastor Naomi, I mean, how would our lives be completely different? Like, and they have just as many needs as the kids down there. So it's pretty overwhelming to think about it. So one of the big things I like to do on a mission trip, I've done this Cape Town, South Africa, Bangkok, Thailand, Mexico City, Belo Horizonte, Brazil, like everywhere I go, Dominican Republic, I have to get a Coca-Cola in a real glass bottle, which Joel and I were able to do, and David, the other missionary, was all about it with us. But the Pollock family would not even take a sip of a Coca-Cola. And I was like, these kids have been brainwashed by Davey Pollock.
Not brainwashed.
And I was like, y'all are not even going to take a sip of Coke.
I love how you say by Davey Pollock, like Lindsay doesn't exist. Lindsay don't drink that either. Lindsay wasn't jumping in there to take a sip with you.
I could not believe y'all would not fellowship with me over Coca-Cola.
See, here's the difference. We can fellowship
Honduras
with you, and we can let you have all the calories. Like, it's awesome. Like, it's great. You can have it. You can keep
I was trying to get the Pollock kids to just take a sip of my Coke, and I felt like I was trying to get them to drink alcohol, or it's like I was trying to get them to smoke a doobie or something. Like, I felt like I was trying to push drugs on them, and they were like, you know, pastors are terrible influence.
Nicholas is like, I've never had a carbonated beverage. And you're like, what? You're 15. How is that possible? Like, we've never drank them. We don't have them in the house. Like, it's just not something we've ever done. So, yeah, but I do like that you were trying to be a negative influence. I do appreciate that.
I felt pretty.
I mean, your diet, like, golly, it is atrocious. I mean,
The family was putting some food down. Y'all eat way more. The Pollocks eat way more food than we did. What are you talking about?
We choose like good food instead of like nerd ropes at the gas station. I mean, you're like a child.
Hey, the nerd clusters are great, but you guys had like a whole, like I had one little thing in nerd clusters the whole trip. You guys had like an entire backpack full of food.
We brought our own food, 100%. Yeah. We brought chomp sticks. We brought jerky. We brought protein bars. We brought dried fruit. Like we come with everything. So we have.
How many pizzas did Nick eat?
Oh, gosh.
He had like nine. pieces of pepperoni pizza for breakfast.
Oh, that's that dude is a different level.
And then what happened to him when he got home?
Oh, yeah. He had the Montezuma's revenge,
If I would have eaten that much food, I would have been sick, too. He was putting it away.
It was almost like eating a whole bag of chocolate-covered blueberries in one sip.
Yeah, exactly. Except times 10.
No.
Yeah, it's not. Oh, my gosh.
But no,
he was like a human garbage disposal.
Nicholas is insane. Like, we go to Chick-fil-A, he's 5 Chick-fil-A sandwiches. When we go to Chipotle, it's 3 burritos and 2 bowls. Now, he doesn't eat them all at one time with that. But, like, you talk about – I told him, I said, buddy, when you start driving and you have to pay for your own stuff, you're hosed. Like, you're absolutely hosed. You absolutely better start saving money right now because we ain't paying for you to eat out everywhere. Like, that's not happening.
Is he trying to be a lineman? Is that
no,
the goal here?
So I did a really poor job as a dad when he was younger. Like, because you know how psychotic I am. So I was like, my kids need to learn portion control. So Nicholas was like 30 pounds at 6 because I was so like, you get to sit down, you get to eat one meal. My wife was like, hey, dude, you might want to chill out a little bit. Like, you might want to let him eat. And so we let the big dog eat. We let it rip. And he just,
I've never seen someone eat so much
food
incredible. In my life.
It's like, he comes home from school and a snack for him is he gets the organic chicken strips, like 2 boxes. It's like 1,200 calories. It's like 80, 90 grams of protein. Like,
you call that
snack.
A snack?
That's a snack. I'm like, bro, that's over half of my calories for a day. That's not a snack. He was like, I'm just getting a little something in me. Like, no, it's incredible.
You've thrown that portion control out the window.
Yes, he can eat what he wants. It's a different level. But I mean, I do think. Did you notice though that you could make some small changes probably to your diet? Like, you don't have to. We don't have to go chocolate every time we stop at the gas station. We don't. I mean, did you notice that at all? Like, did we?
I noticed,
I was hoping that was one of your takeaways.
I noticed that I was consuming a lot less calories than the Pollock family. I was
1,000 calories of chocolate does not equal 1,000 calories of protein. You do realize that, right? Like,
I didn't have 1,000 calories of chocolate.
I mean, we got bars. We got candy bars.
I had one candy bar, and I didn't even eat the whole thing because it had melted and wasn't. It tastes a little funny. So
one candy bar.
That's all I had. And then the second time we stopped at the Quick Rip, I did get that ice cream. I got that Magnum. That Magnum bar was awesome. The ice cream bar.
It's funny. Like, they're like, don't eat anything here. And Pastor Jay's like, oh, it's packaged. It's it's ice cream. It's good. We're all right. Like, it's chocolate. It's a candy bar. We're all right. Like,
yeah, traveling with the Pollocks and the whole food thing was interesting. But you know, you got to be yourself.
Yeah,
got to be yourself. So I mean,
you've still lost some lbs and you're in better shape than you used to be.
I definitely gained some weight on that trip.
I wonder why. How do you gain weight when you can't drink and you can't eat most of the time? Like, think about that. Like, he gained weight on a trip that you literally can't drink the water. You can't eat out. We ate like 2 times a day. Like, that shows you that the choices you make maybe aren't very good. Like, right? Can we at least agree on that?
We cannot agree on that. You ate more than I'd ate. You consume way more calories than me. I was watching you. If someone had anything left over on their plate, you were like, hey, give me that.
Oh, 100%.
I mean, you and Nicholas were eating our leftover food.
I didn't gain weight, I can promise you that. So you can take that however you want. And we did on the way out to end this. We did on the way out see your chocolate covered blueberries in the airport. It was there.
We ended up getting some had some Raisinets, I think. Yeah, and I think support a Compassion Child. It's $43 a month. Compassion.com/family goals. Is that it?
But I guess to wrap it up and to say the last thing about this and we'll go to the next thing. You are not to blame for where you're at in life. You're not to blame for being blessed and to being born in America, born into great parents. But you are to blame if you don't do something about other people's struggles. Other people don't have it as good as you. What are you going to do about it?
Thank you for listening to this week's Family Goals podcast with David Pollock and Pastor Jay. How cool is it to be known as the church that saves children? That's the goal, isn't it? To know God and to make God known. Jesus came to save and to meet people's spiritual needs, but he also came to heal and to meet people's physical needs. Compassion is doing the Lord's work all around the world, and they want to partner with you to save children from poverty. Get them in the local church. Give them clean water. Give them a place to feel safe. Give them a place to play and to be a kid. Give them a place to worship and to know God. What is better than this? How can we hear stories like this and not want to be a part of it? To sponsor a kid, it's only around $40 a month. If you take your family out for lunch after church, it costs more than that. We encourage you to go to compassion.com/family goals and save a kid from poverty today. If you found this episode helpful, encouraging, or entertaining, please let us know by subscribing to the podcast or by writing a review. You can also reach us on Instagram and Twitter @FamilyGoalsPod. Thank you again for listening to the Family Goals Podcast, and we'll catch you next week.